Wow, right? Amen. I'm so thankful. He is our God and He is alive. And we are here to continue in our worship service, to praise Him. And now it's come to the time to challenge ourselves. Let me just say, when Brother Jesse stood up here, he said he'd already been uplifted. I'm telling you, it has been an awesome day so far. I mean, from Jason leading us in these beautiful words to praise our God, to the scriptures that have been read and the enthusiasm they've been read with, to the prayers, to Brother Jesse's wonderful reminding us of the importance of communion together, to here we are right now. I love this place. Your elders, our elders, all six of us spent this past weekend trying to be better, trying to do better, trying to look, trying to have vision. We had this retreat, and there's a lot of things that we studied and we looked at and we challenged ourselves so that we can challenge others and challenge us. Why? Because this place is special. This is the Lord's church. And we are privileged to meet right here at Azalea City. And there's so many good things happening. Today, there are a lot of great things happening. I have about four announcements. Normally, I don't make announcements here, but you know when I do, they're important. I don't really have an order because all four of them are just as important. But I'm going to start with this one. There's a family that I have had the privilege of knowing, I would guess, most of my Christian life. And I've always admired them. This family, they have connection with me because I know that they admire mine and our grandfather. And just over the years, this young lady has said so many great things about him and how he had impacted her, and it just means so much to me. And just recently, they both gave me a handwritten story that he wrote. And so for them to come full circle and now us be a part of this congregation together. They've been visiting with us a while, but today they're placing membership. And I can't be more excited. Stan and Sherry James, welcome to Azalea City. If you will, please stand up, guys. Again, I've known Stan and Sherry for quite some time. They're young. I don't know how we work all that together, you know, but I've known them a long time. Stan has served deacon, elder in the church. Sherry has been such a great helpmate for him and just a great, great family. Come from great stock, as we say around here as well. And so we're so thankful they are part of us. So that's announcement number one. Told you it was important. Here's announcement number two. Somebody in this crowd today is expecting a baby. I always say it this way, you know, we're growing. And the more babies we have, the more we're going to grow. So I love it when that happens. And I'm going to give you a minute to think. And now you're thinking, man, there are going to be a lot of people today, right? But I want to congratulate Derek, Reagan, and Riley Estes on their baby girl that's going to be born in May. So, Reagan, y'all stand up, Reagan. She's going to be mad at me. Y'all stand up. Pray for Reagan. We're so happy for them. That's announcement number two. Y'all know what this means. Announcement number three means there's a baby here for the very first time. And when I went back there and said, are you good with this? That baby's little. He's a little bitty fellow, but Luke John is here today, Luke John Eubanks. So I'm going to get to hold him up here, and I'm going to show y'all how handsome he is. Sister's coming too. Okay, good.
Jesus, you so did, old buddy.
Not a baby doll, but he sure looks like one. Look at that. I am so thankful Luke John is here. So thankful his mama and sister are here. And I know you want your mama back. Okay, buddy. What a good-looking guy, right? Thank you. You look great. Good deal. All right, so that's announcement three. Number four has already been mentioned to you. It's not any new members or anything, but it is about our homecoming. I need to make an announcement because it's that important. It is March 14th and 15th. Our elders this past weekend, part of what we discussed was coming up with our plans for that, and I think we've got a great plan for it. Lots of invitations have gone out and will continue to go out, save the date type stuff, and then invitations. And we want everybody here. We want to have on March 14th, that's a Saturday. If you can, go ahead and reserve 3. We put until, okay? 3 p.m. until. Because we got a lot of stuff planned that day just to kind of get together and fellowship and go over great memories and things. Fairview and Azalea City. 75 years. God has blessed us in this area. What a blessing it is. And there have been a lot of men. There's a plaque in that foyer of men that have shepherded this flock. Save Jason White. We haven't got that on there yet, but we will, brother. But all the men who have served this congregation as elders. Minister-wise, let me tell you why this place is so great in so many ways. Over the years, there's been several ministers. Most of them have gone to their reward. But because of longevity, for instance, May will be my 27th year here at Azalea City. And, you know, we've had a lot of longevity. And so that says something to a congregation, right, and to an eldership. But there are not that many of those available anymore, but we have already confirmed David Myers from Florida will come back and be a part of our services that day. What a blessing that will be. Jeff Abrams will come back and be a part of our services. His son Jordan has confirmed to come back, who is a youth minister here. And we're going to keep trying. There's still people we're calling. I've reached out to Brother David Wheeler, and he's unable to travel, but I'm hoping that he'll record a message for us that he can tell us about some times that he had here, and we'll be able to play that message. And it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be a day for the record books, folks. I feel it. And so, please, let's be making... And we need y'all. We listed some things that... some committees and such, and so we'll be approaching you guys because we'll need help. But if you will, to kind of end this good news and then let's get into our preaching transition, let's just pray together, okay? Father, thank you so much for the many ways you bless us. Thank you, Father, for Stan and Sherry. Thank you that they and so many others have decided that this is the place they want to worship and work and serve. And Father, what a blessing they are to me and so many others. Father, thank you for the Estes family, for Derek, for Reagan, for Riley, and now this baby girl that will be born in May. We do pray, Father, that you'll be with Reagan as she carries this sweet little girl and help everything to go extremely well. Father, thank you for Delaney. Thank you for you bringing her through her pregnancy. And now that Luke John is here, Father, thank you so much for his help. Just pray that you'll be with them. Be with little Sadie and just bless them. And thank you for a mama who sees the importance of having her babies here. And thank you for her village that rally around her as well. Father, for our homecoming that will happen in about a month, Father, we pray that it will be great. It will be great for us to have a reunion together, but that we'll be all able to worship together, Father. What a blessing heaven's going to be when we can all have that great reunion with you. Father, as we now enter into our lesson time, help me to be able to present this lesson in a way that will be well-pleasing to you and well-received, and the challenge will be accepted. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, you know what? If we're honest, Loving our neighbor sounds like a great theme, and it is a great theme. In fact, it's not just a theme, it's a lifestyle, right? It's the second greatest command. So, I mean, we have to adopt this. But that is our theme this year at Azalea City, of course. And you know, you might say, wow, that is great, and that sounds amazing, and I am willing to love our neighbors, and I'm willing to do, and I'm willing to help. But how easy is it when we're hurt by our neighbor? How easy is it to love somebody that doesn't love you back? That's a challenge. But it's not a challenge that just got started. It's a challenge that's been going on for a long time. You see, even if you go back to Cain and Abel, they weren't just neighbors per se, they were brothers. And that brother hated his brother and ultimately killed him. And you see, that has been a challenge. Satan has tried to destroy families. He's tried to destroy communities. He's tried to destroy churches. And he's tried to do that. And unfortunately, he's done a great job of it in a lot of different places, in a lot of different ways. But see, today I want us to challenge and accept the challenge that we got to love our neighbor even when we have been hurt. You see, it's easy to love people who are kind. It's easy to love people who are grateful and appreciative of what you've done for them. Those who are respectful, I love to be around people that respect others, don't you? It's easy to love and appreciate those, but what about that one or that some who have betrayed you? What about that friend who you thought was your friend and had your back, so to speak, but they spoke against you? What about that family member who wounded you deeply? What about that brother or sister in Christ who you thought and respected so much, but they stabbed you right in the back and they hurt you? You see, the question isn't if people will hurt us, right? The question is, how will we respond when they do? In this world, says Jesus, you will have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have hurt. You're going to have pain. You're going to have struggles. It's not going to be peachy keen. It's not going to be perfect. It's a cursed world and a cursed people, and Satan is the prince of it. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I, Jesus, have overcome this world. Romans 12 was written to Christians. But it was written to Christians who had been mistreated. It was written to Christians who were extremely misunderstood. And it was written to Christians who had been abandoned and others had turned their back on and started talking about and even started physically hurting. And when you read Romans 12, Paul doesn't, again, he writes a great letter, right? He didn't write it in chapters. It's just part of his letter that he's addressing all these things. But when you get to what we know as chapter 12, Paul, in writing that, doesn't write a theory. He's not writing this hypothesis, this educated guess out there of how to handle those who've hurt you. He's writing it from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving a solution and offering a Christ-shaped response when people do hurt us. For instance, in Romans 12, 17 and 18 that Ethan read to us, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Boy, they were persecuted. They were hurt. A government that was against them, that had turned again Jesus Christ and all that was going on. Rome wanted emperor worship. They wanted you to worship those dictators, the Neros, the Domitians. All those evil emperors wanted to be worshipped. And when you didn't do that, boy, they turned on the heat. And so Paul, through the Spirit, is saying, let me tell you how to respond to this. So this morning, as we dive into this, I want you to know that we're talking about love your neighbor. But we're talking about loving those who aren't easy to love. Loving those who have hurt us. Loving those who even have become our enemies. And so here's what I want us to study today. First of all, this. If we're going to love those who have hurt us and love it the way God wants us to and obey Romans 12, the first thing we got to understand is we got to refuse the natural response. Hurt has a way of demanding repayment. When we have been hurt or when we are hurt, here's what society, really what our instincts, because we live in this cursed world, what our instincts are going to say, hey, that person hurt you, get even. You go get even. Hey, that person hurt you, you need to set the record straight. You need to let them know. You need to make them feel the way you felt. Sometimes that's physical. But then sometimes it's through the power of the keyboard. It's through the power of social media. Listen, there are going to be people who hurt you with their words. And that's going to happen. It's going to happen maybe today. It might be somebody who says something ugly to you. I hope it doesn't happen here at Azalea City. It might. But certainly we go into the world, it's going to happen, right? There's going to be somebody that does something, and there's going to be somebody on social media today. If you have social media, there's some people that don't, and when they say that, they're like, hey, what's social media? And then, man, I'm like, I appreciate you, you know? But I understand the good in it, too. Really, I do. But there's going to be somebody today. And let me just tell you, I like to be very practical, okay? A guy that I used to coach with, I was discussing something, probably you could say arguing something with somebody. It really probably didn't make any difference in society or anything else. It was some silly topic. And really, I couldn't get my point across because this person was so, well, that coach then, he says to me, and I'm going to say it pretty bluntly, okay? Hey, Terry, you can't win an argument with an idiot. I'm not going to say your enemies are idiots, okay? But there's a lot of truth in that. Why would we keep arguing? Why would we keep putting it out there? You see, there's going to be somebody that says something that hurts you. Why do we pour gasoline on it and respond back? Paul says something radically different than get even. Set the record straight. Make them feel the way they hurt you. Make them feel that way. Paul says something radically different, and there it is in Romans 12, 17. He said, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Christian love is not reactionary. It ought to be intentional. I just taught a series of lessons for a series of weeks in my Bible class on practical Christianity. You might think, well, duh, Terry, yes, we're going to practice Christianity, but no, I mean, we've got to have intent with it. It's got to be intentional. Every day I get up, my cross is laying by my bed. Am I going to pick it up or am I going to walk over it? I must intentionally learn to love others, even those who have hurt me. Here's why retaliation, according to what we know about it, what God expects from us, here's why it will never work. Retaliation is going to multiply hurt instead of heal it. Retaliation is going to make us prisoners of the offense. And it's going to turn us into what wounded us. That bitterness that wounded us, if we allow it to come in, we'll become so bitter. We'll be full of hurt. You know, our Savior addressed this directly. Matthew 5:39, Cody did such a great job reading that from us. He said this, "But I say to you," Sermon on the Mount, by the way, "do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Now, if I were to say, hey, how many of us feel comfortable practicing that? Most of us would say, uh-uh. You slap me, I'm coming back. I mean, that would be the instinct, right? But when you think about Jesus, you remember what they did? They started slapping him and hitting him in the face. They took their spit as low as something you could do, really, right? Taking the spit out of your 98.6 degree mouth and spitting it on someone else is a disgrace. They did that to our Savior, yet He opened not His mouth. So when He says it, He also practiced it. You see, that's what Jesus told us to do. Refuse what seems like the natural response. Somebody slaps you on the face, you know what? You're going to feel that. It may even hurt. It does. We can't pretend that hurt doesn't happen. We can't pretend that pain doesn't happen. But what it does mean, what Jesus is saying, is we must refuse to let that pain decide our character. You see, loving our neighbor begins by refusing to become unloving. But also, if we're going to love others, even when they hurt us, the way Jesus did, we got to remember who we belong to. Romans 12:19, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." See, we belong to God. Think about it as a father today, fathers. Something happens to your child, you want to avenge it. Now, I'm not saying we do that perfectly, but it's the natural thing. Well, if we feel that, think of how our Heavenly Father, who is holy of holy, think of how He has our back. Think of how He's going to be willing to avenge us. To me, Romans 12:19 is one of those, it's a very hard command in Scripture to obey, really. You know why? Because it requires tremendous trust. God didn't say ignore injustice. Injustice is going to happen. He said He didn't say ignore it. It's impossible to ignore it. He didn't even say pretend what happened that's wrong to you is right. He didn't say let evil win. That's the beautiful thing about this. He didn't say just let the injustice happen. He didn't say, just let this evil win. He didn't just say, oh, it happened that was wrong. Pretend it's right. Here's what He said. He said, let me handle it. You don't handle it, let me. He didn't say that it's going to just happen and everybody's going to get away with it. He said, I will take care of it. You see, when we ignore that command and we go into, as we say, business for ourselves and we handle it ourselves, we're acting as a judge. We're also assuming in that, hey, God can't handle this. We're really stepping outside our role because that's not our role. It belongs to God. Peter reminds us how Jesus handled unjust suffering. 1 Peter 2:23. When He, that's Jesus, was reviled, He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to Him who judges justly. Why did Jesus, like a lamb is silent before its shearers, open not His mouth? Because He belonged to God. He knew God was going to take care of it, and He was fulfilling His Father's business, and He was dying for us. You see, He, through all those hits, prophesy, who's hitting you? Knowing what we know of Jesus, think of how hard that would have been. He knew exactly what's hitting him. He'd look at man's heart and know if they were forgiven or not. He knew what was going on. He actually knew, but He didn't say anything. He could have called a legion of angels, as we sing, 10,000 angels. He probably could have gotten up and struck them all dead. But like a lamb is silent before its shearers, yet He opened not His mouth. You see, we can love our neighbor when they hurt us as long as we trust God. Because He's a far better judge than we will ever be. So, we need to remember we belong to Him. But then also, we got to get proactive. We got to get busy. We can't just sit there and let it stew on us. Here's what He actually says. No, respond with active good. Look at Romans 12:20. To the contrary, He's going back, He's saying, you know, do not respond evil for evil. He says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now let me say, some of y'all are thinking, that's right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to heap burning coals on his head. That's the wrong attitude too. Okay? That's not what he meant. That's not what he meant at all. But what he said is tough. Christian love is not passive. It's got to be proactive. He's not saying just enable people to abuse us. He's not saying just excuse sin. He doesn't want us to stay in an unsafe place or an unsafe situation. But what he is saying is this, choose good over bitterness. Refuse to let hatred shape your heart. Let kindness expose evil for what it is. Listen. There are people that will leave the church because somebody hurt them. I've been doing this a long time now. And I'd love to tell you, listen, I love Azalea City, but I can't tell you I hadn't been hurt. 27 years as a minister, you get hurt, right? Been a Christian since I was 16 years old, you get hurt. You get hurt by people you love. What I have had to learn, you can't hold on to that. Typically, if somebody is trying to hurt you, it's because there's some insufficient thing in their life. And you might just be the result, the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. We're going to get hurt. But I want to challenge you. Actually, God challenges us. Instead of sitting there and brewing over it, even though you might not have retaliated, you might say, oh, I belong to God, but you sit there and you stew over it and you stew over it and you stew over it. You know who has a foot in the door there? Satan. And soon he's going to say, they don't deserve to have good. Those people don't love you. They don't care about you. You know, and let's not be the person that sits there and expects, you know, if somebody's hurt us and they don't know about it, let's do what Jesus told us to do. Let's go to that person. Let's work it out in love. But you understand that there are those that sit around and just look for the hurt, and when they get hurt, they're just like, hey, you know what? Feel sorry for myself, and I'm not. Let's don't be that person either. Jesus said it plainly, Luke 6:27-28, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Guess what? If you will do that, if they will allow God, He will soften their heart. They'll come back. They'll end up being supporters, friends, brothers, sisters. When we get proactive and we respond to evil with good, you're breaking the cycle of society. You're breaking the cycle of hurt. You're also protecting your soul. We've got to guard our souls, right? But most importantly, we're reflecting Jesus Christ. Loving your neighbor sometimes means loving someone who hasn't loved you at all, or they haven't loved you very well. What do you need to do today? Maybe you need to take them a cake. Maybe you need to write them a letter. And don't in the letter point out everything they did to hurt you, unless you need to work that out between a brother and sister. But let's respond with good. Then finally, this morning, we need to remember Jesus. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul's not saying deny evil, minimize evil, excuse evil. He didn't say that at all. Here's what he did say. Don't let evil win. You know when evil wins? When bitterness hardens your heart. There are people in this room that an evil person killed their father. Could you imagine? You want to talk about words? What about those actions? I've been told by that person, some of you know I'm talking about, I just didn't ask for their permission. They said they forgive them. Person never asked for, oh, Terry, if they don't ask for it, I don't have to forgive them. Listen, that you may can get into a discussion about that or whatever, but let me tell you something. If we don't get in the business of trying, we're going to let bitterness enter in. There is not one grudge that's ever made it to heaven. Hatred doesn't make it to heaven. Let's just say, this person over here hurt me. They hurt my family. They hurt somebody in my family, somebody in my circle of love. And I didn't do good. I tried to ignore it, but I sat and I let bitterness enter my heart. Well, that bitterness has now turned into, I really hate that person. By me hating that person, have I hurt that person anymore? No. The hatred's only hurt me. Evil wins when bitterness enters. When bitterness hardens. Evil wins when anger becomes your identity. Evil wins when forgiveness seems impossible. But God said, let good win. Remember Jesus. He let good win. Good wins when Christ is the center of our response. When Christ is the one guarding our heart, when Christ and His love defines our actions, good wins. At the cross, Jesus could have defeated evil with power. Think about it. He was God in the flesh. I understand that He surrendered. He came in the likeness of man. He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I understand that. But He said, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He had power. He could have done it any way He wanted. He at least could have called on His Father to send those angels. He could have defeated evil that day with power, but He defeated it with sacrificial love. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Do not miss this last part. As God in Christ forgave you. Someone here today, chances are, you're carrying a wound. You're carrying words that echo in your heart that still sting. Perhaps you're carrying betrayal that still breaks your heart. Or perhaps you're carrying anger that is still simmering. Jesus is asking you to do what He did on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness doesn't say the hurt didn't hurt. It doesn't say the hurt didn't matter. Forgiveness says Christ matters more. Loving your neighbor, loving others, when you've been hurt is not easy. But it's the way the world is going to see Jesus living in us. Today, if you need salvation, if you need prayers, if you need strength to forgive, if you need the grace that's found only in Jesus, the invitation's open. And listen, there are a lot of people that it takes courage to walk this aisle, right? And some may say, hey, you know what? I really wanted to go, but I was a little bit embarrassed. Now, there's not a person here that's going to throw stones at you. But I will say, even if today you don't feel like you can walk this aisle and have the whole congregation pray for you, let me say, when we go to the back, there are going to be elders there. You get one of us and say, hey, I need you to pray with me. We'll go and we'll pray with you. We'll do those things. But if you do want the prayers of the church, you do want the support, the encouragement, if you have a need, we invite you to come right now as together we stand and sing.